ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, beginning with text number 25. So 27 is on the board, so we'll do this. Daksho grihitar hanaso danotanam yageshvaram visvasujam param gurum Sunanda Nandya Danugai Ritam Muda Grinam Prapede Prayata Kritanjali. When Lord Vishnu accepted the oblations offered in the sacrifice, Daksha, the Prajapati, began with great pleasure to offer respectful prayers unto him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the master of all sacrifices and the preceptor of all the Prajapatis. And he is served even by such personalities as Nanda and Sunanda.
Sudam swadama niupakarakta budyavastam chinmatramekam abhayam pratistidyamayam distam tayaiva purushatvam upetyatasyam asti bhavan aparisud ivatma tantra.
Daksha addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, "My dear Lord, you are transcendental to all speculative positions. You are completely spiritual, devoid of all fear, and you are always in control of the material energy. Even though you appear in the material energy, you are situated transcendentally. You are always free from material contamination because you are completely self-sufficient." So now we come to today's verse, which we get to listen to the Ritviks today.
Ritvajra uchu tatvam na te bayam ananjana rudrasapat karmani avagraha Dio Bhagavan Vidamaha Dharma Palakshanam Idam Trivrid Advarakyam Gyatam Yadartam Abhidaivam Adovyavastat Ado vyavastaha. Tatvam ritvaja uchu tatvam natevaya manjana rudyashapat Karmanyavagradiyo Bhagavan Vidamaha Dharmo Palakshanamidam Jivid Advarakyam Gyatam Tarartam Adidaiva Madhu Vivasta. Ritvaja Uchu Tatvam nate vayam anjana rudrasapa Karmanyavagradiyo Bhagavan Vidamaha Dharmopalakshanam idam trivedavarakyam. Yatam tarartam adidaiva madhu vivasta. Ritvaja utru. Tatvam nateva yamanjana rudra shapat. Karmanyavagradiyo Bhagavan Vidama. Dharmo palakshanam idam trividavarakyam. Yatam tarartam avidaiva madho vivastaha. Ritvaja, the priest, Utru, began to say, Tatvam, truth, na, na, te, of your lordship, Vayam, all of us, Ananjana, without material contamination, Rudra, Lord Shiv, Shapat, by his curse, Karmani, in fruitive activities, Avagraha, being too much attached, Diyaha, of such intelligence, Bhagawan, O Lord, Vidamaha, no, Dharma, religion, Upalakshanam, symbolize, idam, this, trivrit, the three departments of knowledge of the Vedas, advara, sacrifice, akam, of the name, gyatam, known to us, yet, that, artam, for the matter of, adidaivam, for the worship of the demigods. Adaha, this. Vyavastha, arrangement. Translation. The priests addressed the Lord, saying, O Lord, transcendental to material contamination, by the curse offered by Lord Shiva, by Lord Shiva's men, we have become attached to fruitive activities, and thus we are now fallen and therefore do not know anything about you. On the contrary, we are now involved in the injunctions of the three departments of the Vedic knowledge under the plea of executing rituals in the name of Yajna. We know that you have made arrangements for distributing the respective shares of the demigods. Translation, please repeat. The priests addressed the Lord, saying, O Lord, transcendental to material contamination, by the curse offered by Lord Shiva's men, we have become attached to fruitive activities, and thus we are now fallen, and therefore do not know anything about you. On the contrary, we are now involved in the injunction of the three departments of the Vedic knowledge under the plea of executing rituals in the name of Yajna. What a sentence that was. We know that you have made arrangements for distributing the respective shares of the demigods. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Oh, excuse me. It was so long, I forgot. You have to read the purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas are known as Triguna Vishaya Veda, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 45. Those who are serious students of the Vedas are very much attached to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, and therefore these Vedavadis cannot understand that the ultimate goal of the Vedas is to understand Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Those who have transcended the qualitative Vedic attractions, however, can understand Krishna, who is never contaminated by material qualities. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is addressed here as Ananjana, free from material contamination. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 42, the crude Vedic scholars have been deprecated by Krishna as follows. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadantyavi pashtita vedavada rata parta nanyad astiti vadina. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, and they say there is nothing more than this. Om ajnana timirandasya gyanangana shalakaya chaksurun militandena tasmai sri garave namam sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupakaramayam dadati svabarandigam adadanastranandantai vidamya che puna puna srimad rupapadam bhujo dulisyam janmajanmani. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master has opened my eyes, the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So previously we saw that Daksha, he made some sacrifice, but he didn't invite Lord Shiva. Now because of that great offense to Vaishnava, his sacrifice was completely... not only failure, it became a disaster. His daughter came and she gave up her life in front of everyone, and Lord Shiva's followers just wreaked havoc. Because if we commit offenses to Vaishnavas, then it will wreak havoc within our spiritual life. Even here we see now his sacrifice is so fruitful, now that he's begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva and been forgiven by Lord Shiva and again started the sacrifice. Lord Vishnu personally appeared in such a success. We're doing so many yajnas, but we never see that Lord Vishnu appears before our eyes in those yajnas. But here, because he has been forgiven by Lord Shiva, begged forgiveness from him and been forgiven, now the sacrifice is so successful. Lord Vishnu has personally appeared in that yajna. And here even the priests are admitting, yes, because we committed offense, therefore we lost all appreciation for the real ultimate goal of a sacrifice. Here Prabhupada points out this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Pushpitam, that those who are attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, there's so many flowery words offering attainment of heavenly planets where one can enjoy like anything. So people become distracted by this. Therefore Krishna says, what is that? Small knowledge. Men of small knowledge, they're attracted by these things. Because we know even if you rise up to the heavenly planets, it is not that you will get eternal life there. One day you go to the transcendental ATM, you put your card in and it says balance nil. Then again you come back. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, again he says Ritagyana, whose knowledge is twisted. They worship these, they get temporary results. And again they come back down. This is the carousel of material fruitive activities. We perform some yajna, we go up, then we go very high and we're enjoying looking all around. Then finally the results of all our sacrifices are finished again, we come back.
So here they're admitting that it's because we offended Lord Shiva, therefore we became attached to all these fruitive activities, and we have no appreciation of your lordship. This is the result of Vaishnava Aparad, that we will lose appreciation for devotional service. And we will lose appreciation for the Vaishnavas, we will lose appreciation for the service of the Lord. Just like very close to where we're sitting, just a little ways, if you go opposite way down the Prikama Marg, you go down where it turns and goes down toward Keshigan. So you turn opposite way, you'll come to the village of Sanrak. In that village, you'll find the temple of Sobari Rishi. Sobari Rishi, he was performing, not yajnas, but different types of penances, very difficult penances and austerities. We can't even dream. Staying under the water for thousands of years, we can't even dream, even 5 minutes, and we're just, gasping. Such austerities. But because he was seeing that sometimes Garud come, now Garud is a bird, so naturally birds will eat fish. What is he going to do? Now the Bengalis, they like to use this exact, he's Vaishnava, he's eating fish, so we can eat fish. But you're not a bird, Baba. So he became very upset, and he cursed Garuda that he couldn't come there to this place. Therefore, that is the reason, because this whole thing became a big lake, so it must have stretched all the way up there to Sanrak village, down to Kaliyagat. Therefore, this Kaliya, he could take advantage, because he knew that Garuda, he also likes to eat snakes. So he knew that this place is cursed. He took shelter there in the Jamuna. So many things happened by this. So anyway, we know that Sobari Rishi, even though he performed such heavy penances and austerities, he lost his appreciation for spiritual life also. So he was watching because he was sitting in the river, so he saw sometime the fishes were having a sex life. So he became agitated. This was the result of offending a Vaishnava. He became attracted. It's like they're saying here, same thing, that we became attracted to fruitive activities. We don't know who is the Lord. So then Sobari Rishi came out of the water and he thought about getting married. Jai Sisi Gornitai Krishna Balaram Sisi Radha Sham Sundar Lalita Pisaka. So he went to the king. Now you know what happens if you stay at, we know just for a few minutes we wash the dishes, and after a while our fingers become all wrinkled and sort of whitish. So you can imagine for thousands of years under the water what Sobari Rishi looked like, Now the king, he's thinking, I don't want to give him any daughter to some guy who looks like this, So, but on the other hand, he also knows if he offends a sadhu, then he'll get big havoc. So the kings, they're very diplomatic, they're very clever. That's why they're kings. So he thought he got out of it by saying, well, whichever one of my daughter wants to take you can have you. And now he's out. Now it's up to the girls. But Sobari Rishi, he was also very clever. He had understood, the diplomacy of the king. And he also realized what happened to his body while he was sitting under the water. So then he made his body very nice. So this king, he had 50 daughters, and all the 50 daughters saw this guy. They said, we all want him, We see what happens to just one wife, what type of trap you get into with one wife. We can't imagine 50 wives. He lost all attraction for spiritual life. He got really entrapped. So with 50 wives, he had a lot of progeny. So I was confused sometimes when I'm driving around Braj. You'll see, Sobari Muni Elementary School, Sobari Rishi Inter College, like this, all over Braj, you'll find them. I said, why anybody wants to honor Sobari Rishi? He offended Vaishnava, he fell down into the deepest dark. We can't even imagine having 50 wives, what it must be like. But
Because he had 50 wives, he had a lot of progeny, so they're still, the descendants are still living here. So because they're the descendants, they respect him. So therefore, you'll see, I was confused. Now, why Sobari Rishi? Who in the world would make it? You know, we see so many, you know, different, you know, Saraswati Shishumani. I mean, Saraswati, she's the goddess of learning. I mean, so many, you know, different schools named after different personalities, you know. But why after Sobari Rishi? I was very confused when I was seeing this, you know. Anybody seen the Sobari Rishi enter college? Especially when you're going from Varsana to Govardhan, on that road, you'll find the Sobari Rishi enter college. So anyway, but because of all of his progeny are here, he had so many wives, he had progeny. So anyway, this is the difficulty of offending Vaishnavas. We have to be very careful. Now especially it's Purushottam month. So everybody, I see many people have come just to be here in Braj because it's very auspicious to be here in Purushottam month. Actually, just like Kartik is the month of Radharani, Purushottam. Purushottam, that's the month of Krishna. Yeah? So these two are very auspicious, Kartik and Purushottam. So especially in this month, we should try to, everybody's asking, what should we not eat? What should, forget about all that. Just chant Hare Krishna and serve Vaishnavas. That's the main thing. Yeah? I see all the Brijvasis, if you want to see something very interesting, because what we do is Ban Prikama. Our so-called Brajmandal Prikama that goes out, that is not actually Brajmandal Prikama. That's called, technically, that's called Van Prikama. We go from forest to forest. Now if you go see on the outskirts of Braj, you will see the Brijvasis walking every day. And they go 30 to 50 kilometers a day. Just to give you an idea, Govardhan is 22. So you imagine 30 to 50 kilometers walking, and they walk all around the perimeter of Braj. And this is what they do, all the Brijvasis do for Purushottam month. They walk all around the perimeter. That is the Braj Mandal Prakam, all around the Braj Mandal, all around the edge. Wherever they go, whichever village they reach, you know, the villagers give them a chula, which is a little earthen stove. Huh? They have their little pots with them, they get a little stove, they collect some wood, the people in the village give them some rice and some dal and some atta, and they make their rotis and dal, and then everybody invites them. Of course, this, now the season is such that they just sleep under a tree, but people, the Brijvasis are set, they will invite the pilgrims. You come stay in our house tonight. They stay in the house like that. They give them dal, they give them atta, you know, flour to make their rotis like this. They're serving all of the pilgrims who are doing this great austerity, moving around. So this is how the Brijvasis celebrate Purushottam month. You will see them if you go to... You have to go to those villages just on the outskirts. And even some that are closer in, because when they, in certain areas, they come back into our normal circuit. And then you'll see all of them wandering along, sleeping under trees, cooking, like this. So therefore, it's very important that we avoid committing offenses to Vaishnavas. Just like we all know the 10 Namaparas. Many temples around the world every day after Mangal Arati, they chant these 10 Namaparas. But in Bhakti Sandarbh, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes from Skanda Purana about the 6 Vaishnavaparas. Because in Bhakti Sandarbh, he's discussing Bhakti, and he describes how Bhakti is very, very, very easy. We're thinking, oh my goodness, it's so hard. But he says, actually, compared to other processes, it is very easy. But it is not easy at the same time. It is so easy, bhakti is so powerful, that it doesn't depend on anything. That is described in Mandurya Karambani by Srila Viswanath Chakravartita. Paramasvatantra, completely independent. It's like we're talking about yajnas. There was one fellow named Twasta. He performed some yajna to get some demon to kill Indra. Now in that yagya, he made tiny mistake. Here we're talking about big opera. They didn't invite Lord Shiva. So we saw what happened. That was a disaster also. But just tiny mistake. This is the thing about fruitive activities. Even you won't understand the mistake he made. He chanted Indra, Shatru. Now in Sanskrit, you can make possessive by saying two words quickly. Just like technically, it should be Krishnasya Bhakti, the Bhakti of Krishna. But we call it Samasa something. They have Sandhis, anyway, conjunction. Anyway, you just say Krishna Bhakti, then it becomes possessive. But you have to say it quickly, because in Sanskrit rules, there's three different types of, there's a quick pause, there's a medium pause, and there's a big pause. Now he said, Indra, big pause, Shatru. So what happened was instead of becoming the enemy of Indra, it became Indra, who is the enemy? Just like we see in Lilamrit, you know, Hayagriva is talking about, they're trying to translate Prabhupada's books, and he said, oh, the king. So the thing is, it oh, the king, the king named oh, or is it oh, the king? So in a similar way, you say, Indra, Shat Indra. Who's the enemy? Indra became the enemy of the person that he was creating to kill Indra. So his sacrifice also resulted in a disaster. Survived, even though he was gobbled up by the demon, somehow he cut his way out and he killed that. Then it's also interesting, is here again, because that Twasta somehow, that Vritrasura, somehow he was a Brahmin. I don't know how, but anyway, sometimes the demons are Brahmins, but anyway. So Indra killed a Brahmin, now he got reaction. What to speak of a Vaishnava, even committing offense to a Brahmin, he got reaction. So anyway, the point is that just tiny little fault, and his whole sacrifice was finished. This is fruitive activities. But bhakti is completely above all these things. In Bhagavatam, there's one nice verse that said, even you can run with your eyes shut, you will not stumble and fall. I mean, sometimes you may not follow all the little tiny rules and regulations because you're following the main thing. And therefore, there's no reduction in the result. So it's completely independent. It doesn't depend. Just like this yagya, it depends on the time, place, even pronunciation. You probably didn't even understand. What about three pauses? What is he talking about? You couldn't even understand, but its sacrifice failed because there's tiny fault. But bhakti is not dependent on any of these things. Completely independent. In fact, Jiva Goswami gives nice examples from the Shastra that there was a little sparrow. And he was sitting on a temple of Lord Vishnu. Now a hawk came. Now hawks, they like to eat sparrows, right? So that hawk attached the sparrow. He began to fly around and around and around the Vishnu temple. He was flying round and round. That hawk caught him, killed him and ate him. But because he was doing prikrama of a Vishnu temple, he went back to Vaikunth. Now what bird knows about Vaikuntha, what he knows about doing prikrama of Vishnu temple, what he knows what is a Vishnu temple? It's just a nice place to sit and make a nest. He doesn't know anything. But bhakti is so independent that even he doesn't know anything. He was doing prikrama at the time of his death, so he went back to Vaikuntha. So Jiva Goswami explains that bhakti is so easy like that. So then naturally he asks the question for us, which naturally will come, then why are we having so much trouble? If it's so easy, then why are we having so much trouble? So Jiva Goswami gives the answer. He said, the easy part is doing bhakti. The hard part is avoiding Vaishnav aparad. And he quotes from Skanda Puran, the six types of Vaishnav aparads. Hanti nananti vaidvesti Vaishnava nabhinandati krudyanti yati no harsham darshanam pattatani shat. Pattatani, falling. Shat, six. These are the six ways of falling down by offending Vaishnava. Hanti, we know this, we heard this one in Bhagavad Gita. Hanyate, hanyamane, sadhya.
Hanti means to do harm. If we do harm to a Vaishnav. Hanti nindanti ninda. Oh, this one we know too well. This is our favorite one. Maya just invented the internet just for this. Hanti nindanti vai dveshti. Dvesha, we know this one, raga dvesha, envy, to become envious of Vaishnava. Hanti nandanti vai dveshti. Vaishnav anabhinandati. Abhinandan means to welcome. When a Vaishnava comes, we should give some proper welcome to him. So anabhinandati, some Vaishnava came, we didn't pay any attention. That is also an offense. We have to give proper welcome to a Vaishnava. There's so many ways. Even poor man, you offer little, like this little straw mat, some water. Somehow you have to, there's so many rules. I saw one time there was one devotee, he used to be president of our temple in Bihar. Pataliputra, what is that? Patna. Swarup Damodar. So he's actually from Puri. He's from a Ramanuja Brahman family in Puri. And he took me, one time I was in Puri, he was also there. He took me to his house. And his grandfather was there. And his grandfather, he just finished his meal. And when I came, when he saw me, he began to cry. Because a Vaishnava came, he has finished his meal, now there's nothing to offer to Vaishnava. He began to cry. Tears were coming in his eyes. Because he had nothing, he had finished his meal, there was nothing to left. A Vaishnava has come, and no way to feed him. He began to cry. Just like sometimes when you're going on that same road from Barsana to Govardhan, then you pass this neem gaon. Because this Neem Bark Acharya, Arka means sun, and neem, of course, we know all the neem trees, now they're blossoming like anything. Everybody who has hay fever has put their tail between their legs and scrambled out of Braj. Everyone else is coughing and sneezing. You see all the neem trees. So Neem Barka, Arka is another name for the sun. He's also known as Nimbaditya, because we know Ditya is another name of the sun. The same thing. It was... some Vaishnava came to his ashram and the sun was setting and he offered him something to eat and the Vaishnava said, no, I don't eat after sunset. So Nimbarkacharya, by his power, he made the sun appear on top of the neem tree so that this Vaishnava could take his prasad. And he's so worried. Sadhu has come and I have to feed him, but this sadhu doesn't eat after sun. So on top of the neem tree appeared a sun. So he's called Nimbarka Acharya. That's how he got a Nimbaditya Nimbarka Acharya. He made the arka appear on the neem tree. So then he fed this Vaishnava and gave him proper welcome. So there's so many ways we have to actually welcome Vaishnavas. We can't ignore them, that somebody just came and we just ignore them. The Vaishnava anabhinandati. Hanti nandanti vaidveshti Vaishnava anabhinandati. Krudyante. Let me give you a little more Sanskrit. We know the noun is krod, but the verb is crude. Now somehow because of the way Sanskrit rules are, when it becomes a noun, then that U turns into O, becomes krod. So krudyante, to become angry. If we become angry with the Vaishnava. Hanti nananti vaidveshti vaishnavana binandati krudyanti yatino harsham darshanam patatani. Harsham. Harsham means happiness. Just like whenever they give some invitation. Bari harsh ke saath. With great happiness in our hearts, we're inviting you to come to our temple for Purushottam month. Bari harsh ke saath. So harsh means happiness. And darshanam we know. So he said, Skandapurana is telling that if you see a Vaishnava and you do not feel happy in your heart, that is also aparad.
we're thinking, oh no, here comes so-and-so Das. Here comes so-and-so Dasi. Now you wonder why we're having so much trouble in our devotional service. Huh? Up to that is also offense. If we don't feel, we see a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are so rare. We should feel happy. Someone, even he may not somehow or other by maybe something we did in past life, we just don't get along at all. But just by still by seeing somebody has become a Vaishnava, we should feel happy. It's like sometimes I go flying around the world, I never see a Vaishnava. I see so many different types of people and so many different types of dresses and non-dresses. So many things we see that I never get to see a Vaishnava practically. Only last time we were going to South Africa, there was so many Vaishnavas, so happy flight. Sometimes I'm going to Russia also, because now there's so many Russian devotees. Sometimes so many Russian devotees on the plane. Vaishnava, we get to see hardly, but very rarely we see millions of people in the airports, millions of people, thousands of people on the planes. We never see a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is so rare. I'm so happy. One time I came into Thief Row Airport, which, you know, is huge. Now it's shut down. It's amazing. We can't imagine Thief Row Airport completely empty. But huge, one of the biggest, millions of people going through every day. So you see so many thousands, thousands, thousands of people. And I walked in to wait for my connecting flight, and there was a whole family of Vaishnavas sitting there. My good friend Ram Parashar from Los Angeles with the whole family was there. And I was so happy. We sat down and I showed him pictures because I was on my way to Govinda Dweep in Ireland. I was showing pictures of the Brajmandal Prakrama. We're going to do again this year, Brajmandal Prakrama in Govinda Dweep on 23rd to 25th July. They made a whole Brajmandal on the island there. So I was so happy to see a Vaishnava. So Vaishnavas are so rare that if we see a Vaishnava, we should feel happiness in our hearts. Vaishnava, yati, if no harsham, you don't feel happiness, darshanam, by seeing a Vaishnava, this is also an offense. So hanti nandanti vaidveshti vaishnavana binandati krudyanti yati no harsham darshanam pattatanishat. So this is the difficult. Easy part is doing bhakti. Bhakti is so easy that even unconsciously, this poor bird, he didn't know anything, but he was doing bhakti. Haridas Thakur, he describes that the Muslims, when they want to say something's terrible, haram, haram. So they're saying haram. They're also getting benefit, Haridas Thakur says. It's so easy. He said, only hard part, how to avoid Vaishnava Parad. We have to avoid, this is the hard part. Easy part is doing, bhakti is so easy, everything so simple. But hardest part is to avoid Vaishnava Parad. So, I know there's many Vaishnavas here that I may have offended, so I please beg forgiveness from all of you. So any questions or comments? I'd have to look it up. All I remember was Skanda Puran. I don't know, remember the number. It's there in Bhakti Sanar. If you read Bhakti Sanar, you'll find it. In the beginning, for first few verses of Bhakti, because he's talking about the greatness of Bhakti, so he says, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your very inspiring class. I want to ask you that in Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto, Srila Prabhupada explains that devotional service, the ninefold devotional service, when a person is engaging in, he is not acting in the modes of material nature. So even in the present condition, which is condition, when we are engaging right now, like in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so are we not acting within the modes of material nature and we are completely transcendental, even though I am in material consciousness?
So how it may appear, just like Prabhupada gives the example of iron.
If you put iron in the fire, then the iron becomes like fire. It takes on the qualities of the fire. The Prabhupada said, now somebody can say, but it is iron. The Prabhupada said, touch it, rascals. If you touch it, it'll burn like fire. So it may appear that we're acting under the modes of nature, but because we're dedicating all of our activities to Krishna, they become spiritualized. Just like we're always talking about Banashram, so... Now, Vaishnava, he doesn't have anything to do with Vanashram, actually. Because he's not a Brahmin, he's not a Vaishnava, he's not a Grihastha, not a Sannyas. He's Das Das Anudas of Krishna. But still, he may apparently be performing some duty under that particular Varna or Ashram, but that doesn't mean that now he's become less. He's... all his activities. Krishna tells him, Bhagavad Gita, by worship of the Lord, then everyone, according to his activities, he becomes perfect. So it apparently, just like Prabhupada says so many times, the fruitive worker and the devotee, they appear to be on the same level, but there's a huge gulf of difference between them. Just like Prabhupada said, they see us moving in the print markets and the paper markets and the ink markets. So many people also going to the print market so they can print, you know, Manohar Kani and Stardust. But Prabhupada was moving in the print market to print, you know, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Specifically Bhagavatam he was moving in the print. So it also looks like he's in the print market, he's wheeling and dealing in the print market. That guy in the Every Wilbur film, he said sometimes Swamiji had no money. And he said, what can I do, Swamiji? I cannot print for free. So he looked like just like everybody else in the print market, but Prabhupada was there for publishing Bhagavatam, so it's a totally transcendental activity.
In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains also that devotional service can be performed in a mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and mode of goodness. So, if you don't have any clue that what we're doing is right or wrong while performing devotional service, we're just going to get stuck.
Does it say we'll get stuck? I don't think we'll get stuck. Is it eventually whatever... difficulty, whatever contamination is there, it eventually would be worn off. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't go to the forest to perform bhakti to get Krishna. He was performing bhakti because he wanted to get a kingdom even greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. But because he performed devotional service. Like there's a story of Govardhan Das. Govardhan Das. He was a famous thief, dacoit. Very ferocious dacoit. But somehow he said some Brahmin was, you know, giving a Bhagavat Sapta, professional reciting of Bhagavatam. So in that Bhagavatam recital, he was talking about how this little boy, Krishna, is there. He's got gold and silver and jewels and pearls and diamonds and rubies. And so many things. So that thief, he was listening to all this. He's a little kid with all this gold and silver. Easy mark. So he went up to the Brahmin. Now that Brahmin, he understood. This is Govardhan Das, the big dacoit. He said, this guy's really there in Vrindavan? Now, if he says no, the guy's going to kill him. Why are you talking lies? He said, yeah, he's there. You go to Vrindavan, you'll see him. You know, didn't even get rid of this guy. You know, so what did you say his name was? His name is Krishna. Kishan. No, Krishna. Kishan. You see, all the villagers, they all say Kishan, you know. They can't, it's this cruel, it's hard, you know. Even we see the little kids, you know, it's hard, Krishna. They say, oh, Krishna, Krishna. But come on, give me some other name. Is he, has he another name? He said, Sham. Oh, okay, that's easy one. Sham, Sham, Sham. All right. Let me try to remember that. Sham, his name is Sham. So I have to go to Vrindavan and ask for Sham. So, the whole way he was walking to Vrindavan, he was going, Sham, 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 Sham. Sham, 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 Sham. He got to Mathura. In Mathura, there was, oh, what is her name? I can't remember. There was one, she's like a queen who became a devotee. So he saw this queen with all this gold and silver, and actually, this is from hundreds of years ago, so we see it still going on today. Immediately all the pandas jumped on her. So he immediately went there, being a gentleman, even though he's a dacoit, he was a gentleman, he saw these pandas giving this rich lady a hard time. So he went there and got rid of them all. Then he thought, wow, let me steal all this lady's. He said, forget it, man. That kid there in Vrindavan, he's got more stuff than she has. Forget it. So he left her alone. I wish I could remember her name. But anyway, she's also a famous devotee. So then he came to Vrindavan. And he sat in the bushes and he waited. And he's just going, Sham, 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 Sham. Then all the cowherd boys came, but he didn't see that little fellow. And he had all this, oh, he asked, that's right, he asked the panda, what does he like? He said, likes butter. So he went home, he told his mother, make some butter for me, put it in a pot. Butter, since when do you start eating butter? Just make some butter, Ma. I got for some work I got to do. So he had this pot of butter. But he was so anxious to see that guy, he didn't even remember that he had that butter with him to eat. He didn't even think about it because he was starving. You know, the guy, he waited there in the bushes. The cowherd boys came, but that one didn't come. So then he waited there all day and night and he fasted all day. Then second day he didn't come. The third day he's fasting and he's just going Sham, Sham, Sham. Then Krishna came. Then he saw, oh, this is the guy. Then he went there and said, hey, Sham, I'm a very poor man. Why don't you give me some of your jewels? He said, all right, you take them. Here, I got some. Well, first he offered in the butter. He hadn't eaten the butter, even though he was starving. He didn't eat the butter. So he offered Krishna the butter. There's another, he did some pious activity, he offered the butter. So then he told him, look, he said, he offered in the butter, let's butter him up, you know. He says, you know, why don't you give me some of these jewels? He said, yeah, my mother Yasoda will give me so many more. She has so many. So he started taking off all of Krishna's jewels. But there was one ring, one golden ring on Krishna's toe. He couldn't get it off. And he's pulling and pulling and pulling. He couldn't get it off, you know. So finally he put his mouth on Krishna's toe to take that off. When the lotus foot dust of Krishna entered in his mouth, bing! Then he just looked at this little boy and he realized this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He started giving him back all this. He said, no, no, you take this. He said, no, 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 no. I can't take these jewels. He said, no, no, my mother is looking. No, 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 no. Then according to his desire, he decorated Krishna with all these jewels. He gave everything back and according to his own desire, he decorated Krishna like this. And I think Krishna gave him some jewels anyway, because he thought, anyway, I got to take something back from my mother, you know, because she made the butter. So then he came back to the village.
Now the Brahmin saw him and he came running up, so, oh, now he's going to kill me. He didn't find Krishna. He said, you were right. I saw him, you know. And he showed him the ring that he got. And then Brahma was thinking, my God, I've been doing this Bhagavad Sapta, you know, just for making money. It's that way he saw Krishna. Anyway, he gave that jewel to Krishna and he ran back to Vrindavan and became a devotee. So, Prabhupada said, anyway, anyhow, he only became anxious to see Krishna because he wanted to steal all his jewels. Completely ignorant activity. But because he was so much thinking about Krishna, I thought, I'm going to see that guy, I'm going to steal all his jewels, sham, 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 when I get him, I'm going to become wealthy. You know, he actually, Prabhupada said, he saw Krishna.
So my question is, since you said that the what makes us more difficult to perform bhakti is that having a Vaishnava parad.
Yeah.
So what is the best way how to avoid Vaishnava parad?
To serve Vaishnavas. Whenever we get a chance to serve Vaishnavas, we should serve them. And we have to try very hard to avoid committing offenses, that's all. But the best way, if we develop service attitude then and appreciate Vaishnavas, every day when we see some Vaishnava, we should say something nice to some Vaishnava. You know, we take each other for granted, you know, and now we see everybody's leaving. Every time we turn around, somebody left. My Dham Guru, Padmalochan, I didn't even hear that he was sick, and all of a sudden somebody in Facebook said, well, Padmalochan left this world. He was the first one to one of the first people to take me on Braj Pikama. So we're all leaving, so we should appreciate each other. Every time you see some Vaishnava, you should say something nice to a Vaishnava. That's the easiest way. Once you start doing it, at the time you see somebody, they led nice kirtan, oh Prabhu, nice kirtan, oh Prabhu, nice class, whatever, just say something nice to a Vaishnava every day. You'll feel so happy in your heart that you'll ought to become automatic. In the beginning, you'd be forced, you know, you have to go say something nice to somebody. Yeah. But if you start doing it, you feel so happy. If you, every day you see some Vaishnava and you say something nice to him, you'll feel so happy in your heart, you'll want to do it. Then automatically, you'll automatically avoid offenses. Anyway, Jiva Goswami says, not easy. That's the hard part. It's like somebody sent me something yesterday. Huh? What is it? Oh, I can't remember. That was so funny. It was like how everything is so simple, but this is hard. And I can't remember now. Anyway, time is up. So we'll all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged us in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki.